2004 brings us to New Ross. So much one might say about New Ross and that church, which in many ways dominates the town and is part of the history of that remarkable town, going right back particularly to the early days of the so-called Norman Conquest. We think of things like the Ross Tapestry, indicating the whole story of Ross as a port in particular. And of course, there were hopes once that those panels might find a location in the church. One thinks of the Kennedy connection, the flame burning, the Dunbrody ship, and in a particular way, of the piano festival, which brings such cultural richness. And so we remember all who have a challenging task in looking after the parish church of New Ross, and we recall their worship there. 2004. On March the 29th, the workplace smoking ban came into effect. People said it couldn't be done. There was the opposition of the power of the vintners, the fear of lost votes, the fact that other nations hadn't gone in this direction quite so quickly. I remember those who had pushed for something like this many years previously. When I was in Trinity, there was a member of staff in the library called David Lass, who was the chief factotum of a thing called the Irish Association of Non-Smokers, which seemed to be banging its head against the wall about things like the upper decks of buses and cinemas. They seemed like voices crying in the wilderness. But eventually it happened, and it showed how law-abiding we could be, just as we've rather been during the pandemic. And there was a funny story told once the ban came in on an offshore island where the pubs rarely closed at the prescribed hour because there were no guards. People went on as they had always done, drinking illegally inside after hours, but came outside to smoke legally. And of course, it made a great thing of outdoor drinking in a cold and wet country, and there was the new phenomenon of smirting. When you look back, you marvel at how it used to be and that it was ever acceptable. And I've mentioned things like buses and cinemas. It was indeed an issue common amongst clergy of my formative generation. Many of them had pipes, which were their constant companions. I had a very distinguished uncle who was once archdeacon of this diocese, and his initials FAG were not inappropriate. My father used to come home, although he wasn't one to indulge himself, he used to come home from select vestry meetings stinking of smoke. School staff rooms were the same. Restaurants, there was the distinctive smell everywhere, particularly in the damp, and many advertisements managed to glamorise it. It seems like another world. And yet, of course, being human in relation to any kind of, as it were, temptation, one has to confess to a certain seductiveness. In my fogey youth, port and cigars were a feature of college rooms in Trinity, and I used to admire those who could walk all around the college squares, keeping their pipes alight while they did so, and talking through the side of their mouths. And my most distinguished predecessor, as it were, of scholarly memory, Harry McAdoo, apparently dictated a great number of his books through a kind of the side of his mouth and the companion of the pipe. Anyway, the ban was very much Micheál Martin's moment. And look where he is now. He certainly wasn't damaged by it. And I fear, of course, people will always try to discover a new indulgence. It may be vaping or whatever, as tobacco wanes. And there was a famous story by the writer Chesterton that if someone could discover a truly new sin, most of us would be first in the queue to try it out. Now, there's a thought.